Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio.
Radio you can touch.
That can only mean one thing.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
You seem to know all the players in this poorly acted farce. What do they call that one?
Bob Lutz.
I've known you your entire life. There's no one who knows less about football.
Jeff Lutz.
I think every bowl game from now on should be named after something you can put in a bowl. Like raisins. Orange Bowl's fine. Sugar Bowl's okay. But no Tax Slayer Bowl. You can't put that in a bowl. You can envision a bowl of raisins.
You call yourself a man. I wait for you.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Sounds like a monster movie.
Welcome back. We are back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. We have John holding. John, hello. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mr. Lutz. Going back a ways, you remember Eddie Creevell?
I remember him well.
State. Yeah, he coached at Wichita State for 1 year. I believe he got fired the following year. He went to Capen, coached at Capen. And I believe that first year at Capen is when Wichita State plane crash occurred. And
that is all accurate, yes.
Yeah, Wichita South and Capen was going to play that Friday. And Wichita South beat Capen. And my father was the coach at Wichita South, and he was upset about an article you did. Because basically you implied that, Capen lost because Eddie Creevell was kind of distracted and upset about the plane crash. You know,
now you're becoming inaccurate.
Yeah, he wasn't doing that in 1970.
John, in 1970, I was a high school sophomore.
Oh, okay.
How old do you think I am?
Well, maybe it was the year after. But
then I was a high school junior.
Were you?
That's how that works. I didn't go straight from high school sophomore to Wichita Eagle.
Okay. Well, my father may not be remembering it, but he's still bitter, thinking that.
Well, who is your father, John?
Luis Valadez.
So that's why he always had a little cold shoulder for me, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. So maybe he's not remembering it right. But he says,
is Lou still alive?
Oh, yeah, he's still alive. And he wanted to show you up. So the next year, Wichita South beats Capen again. And just to show you that, there wasn't a
show
fluke.
Show somebody anyway.
Previous year. Yeah.
Well, I am not guilty as charged.
Okay, great. I'll let him know then.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm his son, and by the way, my sister-in-law is Carla Rito, also, who just passed.
Well, we were very sorry to hear of her passing. That's one of the great athletic families that we've ever had in Wichita, the Rito family, so thanks for mentioning her.
Yeah, she was a great player.
And all right, John, let me know if Lou forgives me, okay?
Okay. He was just still kind of bit. Like I said, he might maybe didn't remember it correctly.
It's not maybe. He did not remember it correctly.
Okay, I'll let him know. So maybe he won't be so bitter or have any animosity towards you anymore.
Thank you, John. That made my day.
Yeah, I was trying to do that math in my head, and it just didn't quite work out for you to be doing that in 1970.
Well, the day of the plane crash, which is the anniversary coming up here, which was October 2nd, 1970, as I said, I was a sophomore at Derby High School, and we were very much shaken by the plane crash. I was a big Wichita State fan at that time. I mean, football, basketball, didn't matter. I loved the Shockers. And I was particularly disturbed. And I remember walking home on a gorgeous afternoon, and my number one concern of many was the well-being of the voice of the Shockers, Gus Greeby.
Sure.
Who was on the other plane, fortunately. it's unfortunate that anybody was on the plane that crashed, but that was quite a day. But to be confused like that, and I've known Lou Valdez forever. Tremendous
coach. Does he really give you the cold shoulder?
Really, a little bit. You know, we had a good relationship, but I always felt like there was something. But he was a fantastic football coach, wrestling coach. And I remember him mostly from his time at Heights High School. But that was, I love getting that call. We've cleared something up.
We have. And it wasn't the next year, and it probably wasn't in 5 years either.
Well, in 1975, I would have taken responsibility.
Really?
Maybe, yeah. That's when I became the lead high school sports writer for the Eagle.
Well, there you go. Maybe it was 75. I doubt it, but you never know.
Well, I hope not.
Maybe he's got the years incorrect instead of the person.
Could be.
But do you remember writing a story about Ed Crewell being distracted from
the... Of course not. And he wouldn't have been distracted 5 years later.
Unless it was the anniversary or something, and...
That would not. No.
I'm just trying to play it out.
Yeah, don't try to do that.
I always do that.
But that didn't work for you.
You're going to have to get over it.
What do you mean I'm going to have to get over it? Just that didn't work. It. Whatever you were doing right there,
well, this guy
fell flat.
This guy has carried around a belief for over 50 years that you wrote a story, and all I'm doing is trying to connect how he arrived at that conclusion.
Well, I would hope you try to defuse the situation.
Do I believe that you probably did not write whatever story he's referencing? Yes. But I'm also trying to see his side of it.
Well, maybe John will get to the bottom of it.
That'd be nice.
Memories fade over 50 years. And accountings of memories fade over 50 years.
No question about it.
So I would imagine John is close to my age.
Maybe at least. Maybe not. He's probably...
I'll say he's close to my age. I'll bet you Lou is in his mid to upper 80s. And I don't know, I don't really have anything to base that on, except my knowledge.
So he could have been 7 in 1970, maybe. So yeah, he's in his 60s probably. John.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm saying.
Well, I wish I'd ask him.
His dad's still alive.
Which I'm happy to hear, because not a lot of people from that era are.
John Valdez?
You don't need to worry about it. That's the last thing in the world you need to take on.
It does say he's in his 60s. That's all I can find at the moment.
What do you mean?
That's all I can find at the moment.
Why are you looking for...
Well, I want to see how old his dad was.
Well, can you not find it?
Well, I probably could. I just haven't looked that hard yet. We're doing a radio show.
Anyway, we'll get to that later. Tomorrow on the show, Joanna Chadwick is here representing Vipe Magazine. We'll break down the high school football schedule. Trying to get Stacy Olden, the executive director of the Orpheum Theater. They had a big announcement yesterday morning. They're completely renovating the Orpheum Theater at long last. About a $10 million process over a period of time. They're going to close that theater in the spring for a year and get all that work done. And that play, I can't wait to see it.
It's going to be beautiful.
Did you see any renderings?
I did not. I must have missed
them. Don't you work at a news organization?
I haven't seen the renderings yet.
I'll check them out later.
Who cares?
Can I tell you something about me?
Not who cares that I haven't seen them is what I'm saying.
Can I tell you something? No.
Let's clear something up. We led listeners down a path.
I want to talk about this.
Lou Valdez is 92 years old.
Well, there you go. What did I tell you?
John, not quite as old as you are.
But approaching it.
Yes.
So anyway, John, thank you for the call. And Lou, if you happen to be listening, it's good to know you're still out there. And you've gotten a little love on the show today.
Of course he has.
Did it make up for the lack of love he thought he'd receive from me?
Probably not.
I don't know.
Because he's been carrying that around for 5 decades plus.
How's he going to handle that? You know, Dad, Bob, maybe not.
He's not going to accept it.
The bad guy you thought he was.
He's not going to accept it. He's going to say, well, it must have been another year. Or he must have written something. I'm sorry. He's not going to be able to let go of that. I know Louis well.
You don't know anybody well.
I know some people well.
Name one person in your years of coverage that you got to know well.
My years of coverage?
Yes. That you got to know well.
I don't know.
Because I can name 50.
Weston?
Do you know Weston well?
Pretty well. I knew Carl Taylor pretty well.
But did you know him well?
I knew him pretty well.
But now
I understood his personality. I knew how to deal with him. I knew how to talk to him.
You're stopping short of saying I knew him well.
I don't know a lot of people well. Do you think I know Joe Auer well?
Well, you would if you ever wrote that story about him.
I'm trying to come up with a plan.
I hope you do. Because let me just say this about Joe. Right now we have in the City League basketball ranks, we have perhaps the 1 and 2 most successful coaches in the history of the league coaching at the same time again.
Yes, we do.
And I think that's noteworthy. I'm talking about Steve Eck and Joe Auer. I think that's pretty amazing, in fact.
We also brought Dale Faber back into the mix.
Love Dale? He's not in that.
But I'm saying if you're talking about history, he's involved in it.
Well, I can talk about history all I want.
I'm saying, do you think you could tell the story of City League basketball without mentioning Dale Faber?
You're going to put me on that spot, huh?
He's not listening. Don't even worry about it.
I love Dale Faber. And he'd be embarrassed that you asked that question.
Well, he'd be embarrassed that you're deflecting it,
I think. No, he wouldn't. Could I tell the history of City League basketball without telling the story of Dale Faber?
Without even bringing him up.
Why are you doing that?
Because. Just answer the question.
Ask me another coach.
Could you tell the story of City League basketball without mentioning Eric Hofer Holdeman?
Yes.
He won a state title.
Although they won a state title and were kind of an upstart in doing so. So he'd probably get a mention in the book.
He probably would. Would Dale Faber?
Give me another coach.
I don't know that many coaches. Chris Davis.
Now, why are you throwing him under the bus?
I'm not throwing anybody under the bus. I'm putting you on the spot. Jim Myrna.
Why are you throwing him under
the bus? You asked me to name coaches.
But I mean head coaches.
Antoine Scales. No, you couldn't.
I thought you were just talking about City League boys.
I was for a minute, and then for some reason Antoine Scales came into my mind.
Here are the coaches who would get prominent mention in a...
I know your group, Size Sickles.
...historical book about City League basketball.
How much do you love bringing up the name Size Sickles?
Well, why don't you respect it?
I can tell you Lafayette Norwood, Size Sickles, Joe Auer, Steve Eck.
Bill Heimbaugh. Carl Taylor.
Ron Allen.
Let me think some more. Goose Dowdy.
Of course.
Would get a mention, undoubtedly. Did you like the way I did that?
Sure. Not really, but who coached the East teams with Adrian Griffin?
Oh, man. That was Eddie Southern or Don Cameron. And before them, Dick Shoemaker.
They had a lot of big names in that group.
Yeah, they had some good. They had a good run.
Yeah,
would any North coach get a mention? Perhaps Wes Schultz. They won a state title under Wes Schultz,
1987.
Galen Nickerson and a group of very good players. And yeah, I think you'd probably have to mention him, and perhaps even Dennis Bruner.
Perhaps.
You know, one thing I've achieved in my life is a knowledge of the Wichita City League.
What about Bernie Pearson?
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We'll take a break. And I think you ought to respect that a little bit more than you do.
I love Bernie Pearson.
No, respect my knowledge a little bit more than you do.
Well, we'll see.
You don't care.
I already know. What's to care about?
You don't care.
But I'm not evaluating whether I care or not. I've known this for years.
We'll be back and make our picks next.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Duda will call if he can. He's unavailable here at the outset.
Sweet.
We don't ask questions. So.
Yes, we do.
We've got
big fellas there, though.
9 games to pick today. And Duda didn't get in. He thought we still had 8. I don't know if he doesn't check email or what. So we're going to. What do we do?
I don't know.
Well, come up with something.
Which one did he not pick?
He didn't pick the one we added, Michigan, Texas. So I say we kick that game out, and we adjust accordingly. So
why? Because Duda can't read his email?
Right. So we'll start with Arkansas, Oklahoma State.
Absolutely not. That's a terrible way to go about this.
We welcome the big fella in. Hey, Anthony.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. We'll get going here.
I didn't write my pick down for this one, so we got to throw it out.
Arkansas, Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State at home, a 7.5-point favorite. It's always tough when teams, when you don't know anything about them. I'll say OSU will win by 10, but for only 3 confidence points. Jeff.
I hate that we're allowing the third wheel of this show to dictate what we do with our picks. But I will tell you that FanDuel has something special for our listeners. Be sure to check out FanDuel's Profit Boost in the app and use it for FanDuel's Double Your Winnings for all of Sunday, September 8th. Pre-game Moneyline bets. Profit Boost will be live starting Friday, September 6th. View your account page now to learn more about your boost. Oklahoma State for 7. Let's go.
OSU for 7. Duda picks Oklahoma State for 3. Max, what about you?
Well, I had to use my 9 somewhere. I have no idea about Arkansas except it killed your pa. So I'm going with OSU for 9. Since they outright 16.
Now for 8 because we've thrown out
the Michigan.
Out?
Okay.
We've thrown out the best game of the week.
All right.
And big fella, what do you have?
The game is being played at Boone Pickens Stadium. I take Oklahoma State to cover. My confidence points, though, I'm going to go with 4.
4? When it comes to confidence. All right, we have our 2 in-state schools playing interesting games. I wouldn't call them difficult games necessarily, but maybe they'll turn into that. Both on the road, both in week 2, Kansas State in New Orleans to face Tulane. Kansas State a road favorite by 9.5. Jeff.
Now, K-State has lost this game in the past, and are we going to find out if they're a national contender? Are they going to be Wildcats with the roar? Or are they going to be the kitty cats with the meow meow? I got Wildcats, and I'm taking them for 6.
Duda is picking Tulane for 1. What about you, Max?
You know, this whole dropping that other game has messed up my thing.
Don't worry, it messed everyone up.
I understand, but I don't know any other solution.
I have K-State for 7.
K-State for 7. Big fella, Anthony, what do you think?
Man, this is actually a tough one to call because, I mean, we know Tulane, I think they're breaking in a new coach. But they still got some players back that's going to try to prove that last year wasn't a fluke. So, I'm going to take K-State, but my confidence for them to cover that 9.5, I'm going to say my confidence is at about 3.
3. I think you're on the right track. I like Kansas State to go on the road. I think they've got the weapons to score some points in this game. I think their defense is good. I like Kansas State for a little more confidence. Six. Let's go to the Jayhawks. They are in Champaign to face Illinois from the Big Ten. This is a really interesting game. That game has sold out. Illinois, not a lot of football history, but their fan base obviously is looking forward to this one. 5.5 points for Kansas in this one. Duda picks KU for 5. Interesting. He never picks Kansas.
Or Jayhawks.
Max.
What was the spread in that, Bob?
5.5.
Why did you have 9.5 on that? Well, anyway, I take KU for 1 since I haven't heard from KU Pat to help me out. I'm taking KU for 1.
KU for 1. Anthony.
I actually like this, and I know why the buzz is there because of what Kansas did last year. But I take the 5.5, and I'm going to go 7.
For KU?
Yes. 7 confidence points for KU. Yes.
I too, am going to be a believer in Kansas State and Kansas until they give me a reason not to be. I like Kansas in this one for 5. Jeff?
I'm pretty confident in KU, but I was just a little more confident in some other picks, so I ended up with KU for 3.
Interesting. That 8's still out there somewhere
sure
in the NFL, which we start now. Green Bay, Philadelphia. They get it going Friday night in Sao Paulo, Brazil. We have Max making here the pick here. Philadelphia giving 2.5 points.
The Eagles will come out of the NFC East easily. I get the Eagles for 6.
Oh, please.
Boy, that is a lot of points on.
You don't want to say that around Anthony.
What about please. You, Anthony?
Revoke his.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Revoke his card for picks. I'm gonna take Green Bay in this one, actually, and I'm gonna tell you why. And I'm gonna put an 8 spot on Green Bay, and I'm gonna tell you why.
Wow,
I'm gonna tell you why. I don't think Philly. If you look at how things ended for Philly last year, they're still trying to find out what their identity is. Green Bay knows what their identity is, so I'm rolling with Green Bay. And Dallas is coming out of the East. Don't get it twisted.
There you go. Getting Anthony fired up. This is a difficult game. It's being played on another continent, obviously. It's a tough one because I think you look at Philadelphia and you think they're not going to fall apart like they did last year. But you look at Green Bay with Jordan Love and you think he's on the cusp of being a superstar. And you like that team. One of the guys on ESPN, who's their lead NFL guy? Jeff does the weekly wrap-up every week on ESPN.
I'm not a big ESPN guy.
Well, you've mentioned his name a million times.
I have? When?
I'm picking Green Bay, but for 4. What about you?
Another game I felt pretty confident in, just don't have the points to give it. I've got Green Bay. I think they're better than the Eagles. As of right now, I've got them for 2.
And let's see what Duda has. Of course, got to get back on his list. So stay with me as we have to cover for the youngster. He has Green Bay for 4. Next, Houston, the Texans. In Indianapolis to face the Colts. Houston, a road favorite in this one, giving 2.5 to Indianapolis. We open this one with Anthony.
Houston, 2.5 on the road at Indy. I don't know too much about Indy, but I know what Houston is made of. Second year for CJ Stroud, and I think last year was no fluke for him, and he's humble enough, and they got some more weapons around him. I'll take that, and what numbers do I have left on the board? Because I'm going to give Houston the highest run I can give them.
You got all the low ones, and you've got your 5 and 6, too. 1, 2, 5, and 6.
I got 6 confidence points on Houston.
Anthony's not going to use his big numbers on his team, the Dallas Cowboys, which I find interesting.
That is interesting. Listen, I bought into Houston, although I've read things here the last couple days that give me some pause. But I still like Houston to go on the road and cover that, but for only two.
I'd like to know what gives you pause about the Texans.
Just reading about them, the depth, their roster depth. They've got the stars, but according to the people I'm reading, they don't necessarily have great roster depth.
I'm not worried about that.
Of course, you've never won the picks.
I won them 2 years ago.
No, you didn't. Who's
yes,
your
I
pick?
Did. You quit that year. This game scares me a little because I don't know what Anthony Richardson's going to bring for Indianapolis, but it's indoors. C.J. Stroud will be comfortable. I got Houston for five.
And Duda picks Houston for seven. A lot of confidence. Ooh. What about you, Max?
Yeah, Houston's got the weapons. Colts don't have much. I got Houston for six.
Well, you just had Philly for six.
Did I? See, this whole thing's messing me up. So how about four? I guess
four.
That's four then.
There you go. Next, Cowboys,
Duda.
Anthony's team. They are in Cleveland to face the Browns. Cleveland favorite here by 2.5 points. I was a little surprised by that. I'm not as high on Cleveland. I like their defense okay, but Dallas is going to cover this one. And I like Dallas for seven. Jeff.
I don't get the line. Cleveland, yes, their defense is good, but it's still Deshaun Watson. It's a team that rarely wins its opener. And I've got Dallas for eight.
Dallas for eight. Duda picks Dallas for two. Max, where are you on this one?
Prescott's looking for a contract. CeeDee Lamb's not showing up. Parsons looking for a contract. Browns at home taking the dog pound for two.
Boy, you and Anthony are not going to be on speaking terms after these picks. Yeah. Big fella, what do you think?
Yeah, he's really trying to poke the bear, isn't he? He just really.
No, I'm not. No way, Anthony. I'm just saying.
I thought we was friends. Every time I call in, how excited you sound when I call, and now you kind of okay. But
killing
Cleveland
you.
Still has the shot.
I know you like Dallas. How many points?
Yeah. I'm going to take Dallas to cover this spread and then some, so I'm going my next highest point total, and I guess that'd be the five spot right there.
Five on the Cowboys. Now we get to Detroit at home against the Rams, a rematch of a playoff game last year in which the Rams came back, right?
Well, I don't know, but Detroit won
it. Detroit won it, but it was a heck of a game. Detroit a 3.5 favorite at home. Jeff.
Tough one again, but if Detroit's going to be the Super Bowl contender or even the NFC representative in that game, these are the type of games they have to use to make a little bit of a statement. I've got Detroit for four.
Detroit for four. Jason Duda picks the Rams for six. What about you, Max? Who do you like and for how many points?
I'm with Jeff. The Lions going to do anything. They're opening at home. I got them for three.
Anthony?
I'm going to go with Detroit. They got to make a statement. And I guess my next highest would be two.
Detroit for two. I like Detroit. I think they got to make a statement as well. I think that's a good way to put it. I like them for eight. Next, and we wrap it up, Baltimore tonight in Kansas City to face the two-time defending Super Bowl champions. Kansas City, a 3.5-point favorite at home. Duda opens, and he picks the Ravens for eight.
Weird.
Yes. I got the Ravens because they will romp. For five, Derrick Henry will be running over people.
This is the reason you lost the picks last year, your utter hatred for the Chiefs. And it will be
well,
the reason
of course,
you
I am
lose
playing
again.
Against the NFL favoring them and the refs, so, you know, what do you want?
There you go. There's Max. He's back. Big fella, who do you have in this one?
Hey, that's holding on Philly. No, I don't think so.
This is a toss up. This is a real toss up. I think the 3.5, that's almost a stretch. That can go either way, but I think I'm gonna roll with Kansas City, and I'm glad I saved my 1 point because this game can go either way. But
I'm glad I saved my one. I have it's a tough one to pick, even though I said earlier in the show I have a very strong feeling, and I do. So why am I betting only one?
I don't know. You have to tell us.
Because I had a very strong feeling about the Ravens last year at home in the AFC Championship game, and it didn't happen. But I'm going to pick them again to stay in this game. I'm not sure they win it, but I'm going to pick Baltimore to cover for one. Jeff?
I think it's a field goal game, too. I've got Baltimore for one.
Wow. Interesting. Those are interesting picks. So thank you, Anthony. We'll talk to you next week.
All righty.
All right, Max, thank you as well. You know what I'm going to ask Max to do for the first time in the history of the show?
What?
In about 2 or 3 minutes, just start playing that song again as we wrap up the show on a Thursday.
Oh, yeah?
Just keep it, you know, soft volume so that we're leaving the show to that.
Okay.
That makes some sense.
If that's what you want to do.
That's something we do every show.
I thought we already had an outro song.
Well, we sort of do.
They don't play that.
We don't play that anymore.
They play it at the end.
Very briefly.
A minute or two.
No, not even close to a minute or two.
Yeah, our show ends at 4, but we go off the air at 3:53.
Yeah, and then they have a commercial break.
For 5 minutes.
And then they come back and they very briefly
for two
get
minutes.
To that. No, they don't.
Well, you're going to have
to. You're as wrong as you can
you're
be.
You're going to have to explain time you know who, better then.
You know, but you know who doesn't have their radio dial set to KFH?
Who?
You.
So?
I do.
Why?
Because I like. What do you mean, why? Tony, get rid of this clown. I mean, at some point, don't we have to do something?
I don't have a radio
you
dial
have the
set
awareness.
To anything. I listen to podcasts.
Right, exactly.
I don't want to listen to sports shows and get my mind tarnished or, you know what I'm saying?
Like, no, not at all.
I don't need anybody else's ideas to, I want to give my own opinions.
Outside of in the morning, when I listen to the MLB network on Sirius XM, and I'll admit that, I mean, I'm going to do that. I like hearing what those guys have to say. So that's what I listen to in the morning. But then the rest of the day, it's right here.
Really?
Of course it is.
What did Jim Rome talk about today?
Yesterday he was ripping into the White Sox. I wasn't in my car today.
He wasn't really ripping into him. He was kind of expressing a little sympathy.
Let's get to Andy. Hey, Andy.
Hey, guys, I know we've got about 3 minutes before we play your song there, Bob, but just a quick
thought. No, we're going to play it here shortly.
Fair enough. Wanted to see what your thoughts are on Xavier Worthy, what you guys are expecting from him maybe tonight with Hollywood Brown out and then maybe long-term for the season.
I think he's going to be a star. I'll just leave it at that. Whether that happens tonight, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised at anything he does. The Chiefs are one of those franchises right now. They have the golden touch, and people are going to be thinking to themselves, how did this guy get to where he did in the draft line, and we didn't pick him? That's what I think.
There are a lot of good receivers out there, and several of them were picked early, and you can't really argue with Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze.
He asked me what I thought.
Well, he asked me what you guys think, and I assumed I was one of the guys.
Max, let's hear that treat her like a lady.
Do I not? Okay.
Go ahead.
No, it's all good.
What were you saying?
Nothing.
No, you were saying something.
Well, you just
said there's a bunch of good receivers.
Steamrolled me. 4 for 78 and a touchdown for Worthy tonight.
So you're getting that specific?
Yeah.
Yeah, aren't you something?
Why not? It's just a prediction. Who cares?
Now, this is a good touch to this show.
It's fine.
This is one of my favorite songs that Max has ever come up with, and I'm very happy with him for it.
Good.
You ever dance to this one?
Not that I remember.
Anyway, I predict, I can't get specific on the numbers for Xavier Worthy.
Oh, no one can. It's just I'm
throwing
it out.
But I will say this. I predict it to be a 23-20 game. And I picked Baltimore, but for only 1 point. It wouldn't surprise me if that's the score on the other way. I think it's going to be close throughout. Both teams have Super Bowl expectations. Both teams have them for worthy reasons. So tonight we get to see two of the best teams in the NFL battle it out. Baltimore will play better than it did in the AFC title game. It couldn't play much worse. And the Chiefs are going to be good. Duh, there you go.
There you have it.
Disagree with anything I said?
I don't know if they'll play
coming
better
over
or not.
Tonight to watch?
I don't know yet.
Still don't know.
No, I'm kind of irritated.
About?
The whole picks. I just didn't like the vibe with the picks.
Well, sorry. I did what I needed to do.
Due to not calling, due to not getting all the games.
Well, you'll have to go through that with Duda.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
What is it with you and Duda of late?
Nothing. But, I mean, show up.
Well, he may have had a good reason not to.
I'm sure he did.
So, yeah. We'd like to know earlier. And if had I known earlier, I could have texted and said, hey, you didn't pick this game. But we didn't. And we made do.
What are you going
to
do?
We did what we had to do.
Absolutely.
We got the picks made. And your 8-point game is Dallas. My 8-point game is Detroit.
What did Max say?
I don't know. 5 seconds.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you, everyone. See you tomorrow.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.